How many of you know that God is faithful? Even when we aren't faithful, God is always faithful. The Bible tells us that he inhabits the praises of his people. So we know. We know right there that if we praise him, and I know from experience that he is faithful to do that. Anytime you worship him, anytime you praise him, if you're at home or in church, he's going to show up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you have never worshiped at home like you worship here at church, okay, I encourage you to. I encourage you to. He'll show up, that's for sure. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. As you know, we are in a series called The Lord is My Shepherd, and we are exploring the 10 promises that God has made within the psalm. This morning, we will be looking at the promise that is found in the first part of verse 3, all right, where King David says, he restores my soul. Say that with me. He restores my soul. Do it one more time. Heavy on the my, okay? He restores my soul. Yeah. And we're, like I said, we're doing part 4 today, and it's entitled Really Restored, all right? So if you would, stand with me again, okay? This is your aerobics time of the service. You want to keep your heartbeat up there, you know? And we are going to say our Bible declaration. So, hold your Bible up to heaven and repeat this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Let's go. Amen. Let's go. Let's go. All right, sometimes when I go to preach a message, I kind of give a disclaimer at the beginning. I'm going to do that again this morning. I'm going to warn you ahead of time that there are a lot of Greek words in this message. But again, please don't get hung up on the Greek. Get happy over the meanings. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean it. Because I had to include them for you to really grasp the depth of how he restores our soul. But today we're going to read together Psalm 23 out of the NIV. Okay? And I'm just trying to read it out of a different version each Sunday so you can kind of get a grasp of what all the versions say. So, if you've got the NIV, turn to Psalm 23. If you don't, you can look right up here. And you can say it with me. Here we go. All right. Is it up there? All right. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Hold it. It's a little weak there, okay? We're going to start over. I'll skip something on through the sermon somewhere. We're going to start over. Say it boldly. Say it like you mean it. You ready?
Ready.
Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Oh, yep, see, I'm used to King James. I'm sorry. Okay. Verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Forever. That means you're going to be going to church for eternity. All right, it doesn't mean that, but you know what it means. Okay. Serene, would you come up and pray for the message? I don't want to overuse Gary, you know.
Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you that we get to join together with you in our midst, leading us and guiding us into all truth, that we could know your truth and be set free. Father, I thank you for the freedom that we walk in spiritually, but also physically, that men were willing to lay down their lives, according to John, in the word where it says, no greater love hath this than that man would give himself. Father, I thank you for those sacrifices that the families made, the men made, the women made, God, so that we can have freedom here today. Father, may we never take that freedom for granted. May we never stop fighting to keep that freedom here.
Yes.
Father, I thank you that as we hear your word today, it will free our soul. It'll free us even more to the degree where we can worship you in a greater way in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And amen. Hey, is there anyone here that served in the armed forces? If you have, would you raise your hand? Anybody here? Why don't you stand up? Let's thank Rich for serving his country. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. Thank you. I also believe Josh Carr is, he isn't here today, but you know, if you see him, tell him thank you. All right? Today we're going to focus on verse 3 of Psalm 23 where it says, he restores my soul. All right? This is one of those messages that I think are just so super encouraging. You know, you can't preach something negative when the Bible is saying something very positive. Are you with me? All right. Jesus came to this earth not just to save the sinner, but to restore the lives of people, of those who commit their hearts to him. In other words, he restores the saint. Amen? He restores the saint. No matter what the devastation is a person may have experienced, whether it's emotional pain, physical challenges, or just the junk that life throws at all of us, Jesus came to restore what the devil tries to steal. Now, isn't that exciting? That is so good. The things that you have lost, Jesus came to give back. Amen? You know, we used to sing a song, I went to the enemy's camp to take back what he took from me. Jesus does that for you. Amen? Jesus does that for you. Don't be so excited, okay? Anyway, when you look at the definition of the word restore, just the regular definition in a Webster's dictionary, you're going to find this, okay? Restore means to restore order, to bring back to a former, original, or normal condition, to bring back to a state of health, soundness, or vigor, to put back to a former place or to a former position or rank. I don't got a little more here. To give back, to make return or restitution of anything that has been taken away or lost, all right? But, and restore also means to reproduce or reconstruct. So just think about it a minute. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross brought all of this into reality for you and me. All of that happened for you and me at the cross. The minute that you accepted Jesus, all of that became yours. Amen?
Amen.
All of it became yours. You know, when you think about what it really, really takes to restore a life, and if you look at your own life, I look at my own life and I think, man, it really took a lot, okay? You know, it wasn't just this, hey, here's Jesus, accept him and go. It took a lot for me to come to the place to realize, you know, that I needed him. But when you look at yourself, it's kind of a reminder of the in-depth restoration process that's needed to restore any human life. All right? It's just a reminder to you and I. And although Satan and his demons are in the destruction business, period, well, I don't mess with Satan. All right, he messes with you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He's always looking to destroy people's lives. Jesus, thank God, Jesus is in the restoration business. He makes this contrast between himself and the enemy in John 10:10. And most everybody knows what that scripture is. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're talking about the enemy. We're talking about Satan, the devil, okay? The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I like that, okay? You and I don't just have life. We have life more abundantly. Why? Well, it doesn't feel like it. Well, all I know is this, is that Jesus promises that to you and I. Amen? And you know what? There's sometimes when you have to live like you've got abundant life when you don't have abundant life. Amen? It does you no good to walk around with your jaw hanging on the ground. Get happy. Amen. That's your choice. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Taking into account the original Greek meanings of the words that are in this text, there is an interpretation of the verse that I ran across, okay, that I would like to read to you right now. And I know it's long, but it's good. So just listen, okay? And if you get excited in between time, you can shout and you can dance. Even do handsprings on the aisle. It's okay, all right? All right. This is John 10:10 interpreted. The thief wants to get his hands into every good thing in your life. In fact, this pickpocket is looking for an opportunity to wiggle his way so deeply into your personal affairs so that he can walk off with everything you hold precious and dear. And that's not all. When he finished stealing all your goods and possessions, he'll take his plan to rob you blind to the next level by creating conditions and situations so horrible that you'll see no way to solve the problems except to sacrifice everything that remains from previous attacks. The goal of this thief is to totally devastate your life. If nothing stops him, he'll leave you insolvent, flat broke, and cleaned out in every area of your life. You'll end up feeling as if you're finished and out of business. Make no mistake, the enemy's ultimate aim is to obliterate you. But, I have specifically come, glory to God, I have specifically come with the express purpose that you will have, hold, and possess a phenomenal and amazing life. My purpose is that you will possess life so full that it overflows and spills over like a mighty river, so full of water that its banks can no longer contain it all. Glory to God. I'm talking about an amazingly full, spirited, and vivacious life that is so literally overflowing and spilling over. I have explicitly come so you can possess an abundant, profuse, plentiful, and bountiful life. Glory be to God. Give the Lord a hand clap right now. That's what's contained within John 10:10. I mean, that's what we have as Christians. I want you to know this morning that whatever Satan has endeavored to wreck, Jesus uses his power to restore. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Anyway, why don't you turn to Luke 19:10, and we will read that, not together, just follow along, okay? Are you there? Now are you there? Okay. Thanks, Leslie. I can go ahead now, right? Okay. In Luke 19:10, Jesus made this statement. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That's an awesome verse. Amen? An awesome verse. When we look at the word lost here, we find out that this word has a more extensive meaning than maybe we might think it has at first glance. Remember, this scripture is talking about you and I, pre-salvation. But it's also talking about you if you lose your way. How many of you know what it's like to be saved and lose your way? Come on, be honest this morning. God knows already, okay? And I'm talking backsliding, all right? He's also there for that. The word lost is translated from a Greek word, apollolos, which is derived from the word apollomai, and it conveys the idea of something that is ruined or wasted or trashed, devastated, or destroyed. That's what lost means. The use of this word tells us that Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and save that which was ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated, or destroyed. I don't know about you, but that is the result that I got with my life when I ran my life. Amen? That's what you get when you run your life by the flesh. You don't get good fruit, you get bad fruit. You destroy yourself. How many of you know what it's like? You destroyed yourself before you got saved. You needed to get born again because you know what? What you had wasn't going to last anyway. Come on. Again, our lives were ruined, wasted, trashed, devastated, and basically destroyed. Are you with me? Now remember that. The word seek is also significant, all right? It's a translation of the Greek word zedio, which means to desire, to pursue, to seek, or to earnestly search for. It's a picture of a person so intent on achieving their goal, and this is Jesus, okay? So intent on achieving their goal that they will search and seek and investigate, never giving up in their pursuit to get what they wanted. In other words, Jesus has put forth, and Jesus is putting forth, his best efforts. I think that's good enough for me, amen? And will never give up, never give up in his pursuit of you and I to actively seek and investigate, and then he will save and restore whatever Satan has tried to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't know about you this morning. Come on, people. That makes me want to shout. Okay? That means everything I did is gone. You know what I mean? He's redeemed it. He's redeemed it. He's given me a new life to live according to his plan. It makes me want to shout. So, whatever. Say whatever. Whatever the enemy has brought into your life to disrupt or destroy your destiny, Jesus, your good shepherd, restores and reinstates. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now let's look at the word save, okay? Are you all right with this so far?
Yeah.
This is what that entails. If you haven't noticed, I kind of like to do word studies.
Amen.
You think? I do. In this case, the word save is the Greek word sozo. And I think you might recognize that one. But here, it means and signifies a rescue operation. Okay? A rescue operation. So when he came to save us, he came to give us, to put forth a rescue operation. Because I don't know about you, I needed rescuing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As a rescue operation from a raging sea, okay? Or a rescue operation from an illness, or a rescue from an immediate danger. Now, inherent in this kind of rescue is one's return to safety and soundness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Inherent in this kind of rescue is one's return to safety and soundness. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus' work to seek and save us isn't a salvage operation. Come on. It's a full-scale rescue operation that results in a redemptive and fully restorative operation. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. To be clear, when Christ finishes his work in us, we are by no means a weaker version, substandard version of what we were before, all right? Hear me this morning. On the contrary, after Jesus seeks and saves that which was lost, and that's you and I, okay, we're stronger, come on, we're better, and we're more improved because of what Jesus has done to rescue us and to redeem us and to restore our hearts and lives back into a state of wholeness in him. We're better. We're not a second-rate version of something that we used to be. Come on. We are a first-rate, stronger version of what we used to be. Glory to God. Because, and this is really it in a nutshell, okay? Because when we're in Christ, we're filled with the supernatural potential of what? The Holy Spirit. Oh, come on. The Holy Spirit living inside of you. Amen? And because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, everything is different. And you're filled with supernatural potential. And I wish we would get a hold of that as a church and really understand and put that to use. But not only that, Jesus is seeking to perform this rescue operation, if you will, in every area of our lives. Amen? Well, I'm just a worrier. Every area in our lives. Well, everybody smoked my house and I just can't. Every.
Amen.
Come on. Every area of our lives.
Amen.
Especially where Satan has attempted to bring in devastation and destruction. It's true. And this is what I want you to understand. From the moment, say from the moment. From the moment Jesus launched out into his earthly ministry, his mission, His mission has always been and always will be to rescue and restore. Glory to God. He doesn't have to do it. He rescues us and then he restores us. Luke captured this in his gospel when he speaks about Jesus coming to Nazareth and standing up in the synagogue on a Sabbath day to read from the words of Isaiah, okay? And now I'm going to read out of Luke 4, 18 through 19. And you'll recognize this as being in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is Jesus speaking here, okay? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Again, there are several key words here in Jesus' mission of restoration that we really need to understand, to really understand the depth of what he's saying here, okay? To really understand what he is talking about. Here's another Greek word. This is a translation, the word brokenhearted, okay? Is a translation of the Greek word suntribo, all right? Which is used to describe, and this sounds kind of weird, but the crushing of grapes with the feet, okay? Or the smashing and grinding of bones into dust. It's kind of odd, but when we get into this a little bit, you'll understand why. And in this verse, the word depicts people who have been walked on, or people who have been crushed by others, or those who feel they have been smashed to pieces by life circumstances, come on, or smashed to pieces by relationships that they have had. Can you identify with any of those things? Any of those things? All right. These are the people, when Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted, those are the people, those of you that raised your hands, you're the ones that he came to heal. He came to put you back together. And even the word heal is a very unique word in this verse. It means to cure. And now pay attention to this, please. And it usually refers to a, are you ready for this? To a progressive cure. And it often depicts a healing power that progressively reverses a condition over a period of time, or a sickness that is progressively healed rather than instantaneously healed, okay? So what the Bible is referring to here is not a miracle per se, but still a healing is a miracle, but it's not an instantaneous miracle, you know, something that happens right away, but a restorative healing that takes place over a number of days, weeks, or even months. I talked about this when I had the stroke, okay? I wanted a miracle, but he gave me a healing. Glory to God. Now, I wouldn't exchange that for anything now because of what I had learned in the healing time from the beginning of it until the end of it, and probably still going on now, okay? You know? So when Jesus is talking about this, when he's talking about saying that he's going to heal, in this particular case, he's talking about heal, and it's going to take some time. You know, I know that we all want everything to happen right now, right away. So if you don't feel like you've had your brokenheartedness healed, you have to know this. It's a process. Amen? It's a process. Sometimes I think that people couldn't handle it if they got delivered right away. Amen? But it's a process that goes through your life and just begins to pick the things out that don't need to be there. Amen? Amen. So, if that's you, and you're feeling like maybe you've got a little bit of, you know, deliverance from being brokenhearted, but don't worry, because it's coming, all right? It's coming. Why? Because he is faithful to his word. That's why. So don't expect that every time that you're going to get healed, it's going to be, pow, wow, check this out, I'm healed. You know, it can be a progressive healing, and it can be just as much the Lord, okay, in the progressive healing as it is in the miraculous healing. And this scripture proves that. So along with healing the brokenhearted, the scripture also says that Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captives, okay? The word deliverance is translated from a Greek word which describes a release or a dismissal, okay? Deliverance, release, dismissal. It means to literally set free, now, but this is the part I like, or to permanently loose. Glory to God. You know, I used to quit things when I was unsaved, and I'd always end up going back. But this says that he's going to set me free, amen? He's going to set me free, or he's going to permanently loose me. And he's going to permanently loose you. That's power, people, to change your life to such a degree, that you aren't the person that you were. Glory to God. Yeah, amen, amen. Permanently loose. So Jesus came to permanently deliver, permanently set free, permanently release the captives. How many? All the captives. All the captives. Well, Jesus just can't seem to set me free from what I'm addicted to. Yes, he can. You're the one that's holding on. Amen? He's got the power. And there's times when, like I just said a little bit earlier, sometimes we have to walk like things are great when they're not. Are you with me? Okay. Later on in Luke 4, verse 18, the scripture talks about the word captives, okay? Which is the word that was used to give us the picture of those taken captive at the point of a spear, all right? It's a picture of individuals or groups of people who are dragged into bondage or manipulated by that bondage. That's what captives are. There's a scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. And I always remember this because it's a word, but my wife always uses it when she prays, a kind of a little Serena version of this, okay? But verse 26 says this, "And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Who is that talking to? It must be the unbelievers, right? No. I think this was written to believers. Amen? So is it possible, is it possible that you've been taken captive by the enemy to do his will? You know that time when you spoke really harshly to somebody and it really hurt them? Guess what? Whose will got done that day? Okay? It's things like that, okay? But let me just say this. If the enemy is taking you captive by convincing you that it's better to do things his way rather than God's way, part of Jesus' mission here on earth is to set you free. Amen? It's to set you free. You know, I'm just going to throw this in. I think I probably since I've been saved, I've been hurt more deeply and like eternally almost by the words of other Christians. You know what those Christians are? They've been taken captive to do his will. But Jesus says, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live like that. I'm going to set you free. I mean, glory to God, he's going to set us free. Sometimes I think that we as Christians also look at the words like freedom and liberty and not really realize how much that entails, how different that makes us. Stay with me here. Because next we see Jesus' restorative work includes recovering of sight to the blind. Okay? It literally means, and this is a really tough one, okay, to see again. Which means Jesus wants to restore our sight so that we can see things clearly and correctly once again. And that's important, so remember that. This brings us to the word blind. Okay, he's going to restore the blind eyes, okay, which is a Greek word that just plain means blind. But the interesting thing about this word is that it doesn't just depict a person who isn't able to see. Are you with me? But it depicts a person who has been intentionally blinded by someone else. Okay? It can picture one whose eyes have been deliberately removed so that he or she is, as a result, blind. Okay? I'm going to throw this in so you don't feel lost. You know how Jesus is going to open the eyes of our understanding? Okay? Now, this individual that doesn't have sight, they've lost their sight. They actually have no eyes to see with. And again, stay with me here. There are many, many people who have become blinded in and by life experiences as well as the enemy. You know, you've had things happen to you. You've been hurt. You've been crushed. You know, and so you think it's going to happen every time. You're blinded of any goodness that comes your way. And Jesus wants to come and restore your sight this morning so that you can look at things rightly instead of the way the world has skewed you to see them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible says, I think I only got two more here. The Bible says that God has anointed Jesus to set at liberty them that are bruised. Okay, say, set at liberty them that are bruised. If you wonder why I have you repeat things, not only is it for emphasis, but it's to wake you back up, okay? The words set at liberty are derived from the Greek word aphesis, okay, aphesis. And it is the same word that is translated as deliverance. It describes a release or a dismissal, okay? It means to permanently loose or set free, and in this case, it means to permanently set free from detrimental effects of a shattered life. How many of you are glad this morning, or if you haven't felt like you've been, how many of you are glad to know this morning that you have been set free of a shattered life?
Amen.
Amen. Of a shattered life. In other words, it permanently sets you and I free from what? From our past. Amen? Yeah, amen. You should just give him praise for that. He permanently sets us free from our past. The only one that brings up our past is the enemy. He wants us to live there, stay there. He wants us to live our life from that position. But Jesus came to give us life, and what? Life more abundantly. Glory to God. Glory to God. And this ties into the meaning of our last Greek word, okay? And I'm just going to say what it means. I'm not going to say the word. The word bruised, okay? Which is a word that means to crush or to break down. It depicts a person who's been shattered or fractured or broken by life. And I think we all know how that feels. If you've lived very many years at all, you found new ways to be shattered, broken by life. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's your own fault or somebody else's fault. We've all pretty much been shattered or fractured or broken by life. It's a picture of those whose lives have been continually split up and continually fragmented, if you will. So when Jesus said that he came to set at liberty them that are bruised, the Greek emphatically speaks of a permanent release from the destructive effects of brokenness. Glory be to God. How many of you know what it feels like to be fragmented? Yeah. To just feel like you're just every direction at one time. It's just, it's overwhelming. It's everything. Jesus came to set you free of that. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I know it's a lot of information, but it wasn't long enough for two sermons. You know what I mean. But I want you to know that today, if you feel brokenhearted, okay, or if you have been taken captive by some addiction or taken captive by the enemy himself to do his will, or you feel like life has fractured your hope, okay, there's still hope for you. If you feel like you've been blinded by hardships and hurts or fractured and shattered by life's disappointments and difficulties, Jesus wants to totally and completely restore your sight and permanently release you from the destructive effects of brokenness. Amen? Now this next part, and I'm almost done, but this next part is so simple, and I think it's been stated so much that it's kind of lost its effectiveness for us, okay? But all we have to do is believe and receive. You can believe it all you want, but your mouth doesn't line up. Are you with me? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I know Jesus came to set me free, but if all I do is talk about bondage and how terrible things are, get your lips lined up with your mind. You know, no, I shouldn't say that. Get your lips lined up with the scriptures.
Amen.
How many of you are glad that the promises of God are always yes and amen?
Amen.
Always yes and amen. We don't have to wonder whether or not a promise is for us. All the promises are for all of us.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Acts 10:34 tells us that God is not a respecter of persons. And that little bitty scripture right there tells me that what he does for one, he'll do for another. There's no doubt about it. Amen? No doubt about it. So today, just believe and receive, okay? Believe and receive the promise of verse 3 that he restores your soul. And every little thing that's trying to bring you down, whether it's from the outside or from the inside, just say, no, 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 no. Jesus restores my soul. Say it with me. Jesus restores my soul. One more time like you mean it. Jesus restores my soul. Glory to God. Because God is the restorer. Jesus is the restorer of souls. Isn't it amazing? He restoreth, we're going to go King Jimmy just for a minute. He restoreth my soul. Okay? He restoreth my soul. Four words. It's amazing. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. His mission at the beginning, be his mission till the day he comes back second time. Okay? Amen? Give the Lord praise right now. Just and thank him for what he's already given you. Yeah, just give him praise. Amen. Next week, we're going to explore the fifth promise that God has made to us, okay? The promise of supernatural direction. You ever know what it's like to be wandering through life with no direction? Yeah, we're going to talk about that next week, all right? But this week, I want you to think about that, that he restores your soul. That means that he does not leave a single stone unturned, all right? If there are stones unturned in your life, they're there because you have turned them back over. Amen. This week, there's one thing I'd like you to do, if you would just do this, please. Make sure, I'll say it like this so maybe you can remember. Make sure your psyche lines up with the scriptures, okay? Let that be what you meditate on and see what a difference that makes in your life, okay? What do I mean? Well, when somebody tells you or the enemy tells you you're no good, you know what? Yes, I am, because Jesus died for me, you know? Oh, you can't do that. You're stinking, you can't do that. No. Sorry, you're wrong. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I like the words there in the King James because it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And the indication is that doing the things is what strengthens you. You know, you get stronger as you do the things. Amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads this morning? Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that you restore our soul. I had no idea of what that entailed, God, until this message. And I thank you so much for your multifaceted sacrifice. And I pray, God, that we would just grab a hold of this message and understand who we are in Christ. Understand, God, that we are children of the King. Amen. God, that we're children of the King. Thank you, Lord. And this morning, as we were talking about how much he restores our soul, if talking about being brokenhearted, talking about being fragmented, talking about being broken, crushed, If that moved you for some reason, and there's still maybe a little residue of that going on in your life right now, why don't you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the second part of this call is going to be for those of you who really have never experienced what it's like to live a week confessing the Word. And if you want to do that this morning, if you want to begin that this morning, I want to pray for you too, okay? So why don't you raise your hands, and those of you that really want to live your life by quoting, by reading, by by standing on Scripture. Why don't you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to call each one to raise your hands forward and just pray over you. So if you all would stand with me, please. If you raise your hand for either one of those things, I would ask you to come forward just so I can pray with you this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, I pray for each person here this morning that has had bitterness, that has had that crush their life. I pray for each person this morning that has felt battered and they have not felt restored, God. I pray that you would show them your power this week. Lord God, if they felt crushed by life and by people or things people have said and done, God, I pray that you would show them your healing this morning, that they would walk away and they would suddenly realize, maybe in a couple of days down the week, they would realize, well, I haven't been thinking about that anymore. Not thinking about that anymore. God, I pray that you would just renew their minds this morning. Not only restore their soul, but in that to renew their minds, God. And secondly, Lord, I'm going to pray for each one that came forward, God. I pray for them that they would have the ability, God, the supernatural ability, to live their life confessing your word, standing on promises. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit, that you would bring back to remembrance those scriptures that they have read, and that they would be able to look in your word and easily find scriptures that would speak to the situations that they go through. And Father, I just pray that they would just let only Bible come out of their mouth. Let it be Bible. Let it be what you, God, how you view them, not how the world or relatives or anybody talks to them. Let it be how you view them. Show them how they can do all things through Christ, which strengthens them. Show them how greater is he that is in me or in them than he that is in the world, God. God, I pray, God, that that would be something that this week would begin to happen in their lives. And God, I pray that through the beginning of it happening, Lord, that they would continue. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. As they taste and see it, God, I pray that they would get more hungry for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And amen.